Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
2022, here we are. Has anyone made any New Year's resolutions? I want to ask you what they are. Has anybody made any? Only a few. You've just given up, huh? You've tried it in the past. I made one yesterday. I already broke it. And it was actually a spiritual one anyways. We're all in that boat, aren't we? Anyways, this year, as we look forward to another year, I thought it's interesting that, usually the manifestation or the epiphany of the wise men finding Jesus falls several days after New Year's. It's always the Sunday after Mary, Mother of God, or the Sunday after Christmas, two Sundays after Christmas, anyways. But this year, because Christmas and weekends are so close together, we don't have much time. Well, so it falls that, and as we begin a new year, the wise men are also bringing gifts. And I thought, well, that'll preach. The wise men come to find the Lord as they come from the east. They've been searching their whole life, right? I want to find God, they say. So they've been searching their whole life looking to the stars. And when they see one that's different, hanging over a stable of a tiny town, they make their way there. As they're going, they pass by a king named Herod. King Herod. Thank you, choir. They're in. You got microphones. That's why I heard you. Anyway, so they see King Herod, and they go and they talk to him. And notice, interestingly, Herod is a king, and they've obviously had gifts in tow that they've brought with them, but they don't give those gifts to Herod. They save them. And then when they finally find the person or the thing that they've been looking for, that's when they make their offering, gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, three gifts. Now, theologians talk about how those three things are symbolic. They're foretelling of who Christ is and will be. Gold, because Jesus is, in fact, a king. Frankincense, because he's not just a man, he is also God, right? Because when we do use incense at church, we incense the altar, the gifts, the priest, the deacon, the people, things that are supposed to be belonging to heaven. At a funeral, when the casket is in the center aisle, we walk around with incense, hoping that as the smoke goes up to God, so will the person's soul, right? So frankincense is because Jesus is also God. And the third gift is myrrh, because one day Jesus will die. One day he'll die. On his birthday, a stranger is giving his mom and dad something that they're going to use at his funeral. And actually, in fact, that would have been something somewhat joyful, because we know that we need Jesus' sacrifice so that we can live. We can have a new birth ourselves. Anyway, so theologians talk about those three points, but instead of kind of those about Christ in particular, I want to talk about how maybe we can offer gifts ourselves in this new year. And I think those are good categories. If they're worthy of Jesus, they're worthy of us too. Like we should do them. So gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The first one, gold. This is one that I don't talk about very often, at least not explicitly at church, is tithing. They told us in seminary that if Father talks about tithing one time, his people will say, Father always talks about tithing. And then the professor said, if Father talks about tithing twice, people will say, Father never talks about anything except money. So I don't talk about it very often, but let's talk about tithing, right? So gold, that represents our stuff. You know, what I do is I just do direct debit, right? It's simplest. I'm a millennial. I don't like checks and all that kind of stuff, right? I don't carry cash ever. So I have a direct deposit, but I have to look at that. I have to remind myself to look at that every year, because as a priest, my salary actually goes up every year. Do you know that? $30. Not a joke. I'm serious. Every year that you're a priest, you get an extra $30 in your paycheck. That's it, right? So when I'm like 50, I'll get an extra like $800. It's going to be awesome, you know? Anyway, so my money goes up just a little bit. But not only that, but we get gifts just like you do. And part of that needs to be tithed, right? Like 10% belongs to God. That comes from the Old Testament, where when our patriarchs, our fathers in the faith, when they would conquer a land. This is why a soldier would sign up for the army. You go into a place, you conquer Greece or some other civilization, Persia. And if you win, you get to loot the whole place. You get to go to people's houses and take the jewelry, or go to the temple and take the statues or whatever you want. And if you can carry it back to your home in Rome or wherever you're going, then you get that. Like, you're now wealthier because you went to battle. And so Melchizedek is a high priest, and he gets offered 10% of the goods as a way of saying, God, thank you for giving us victory on earth. And ever since then, the prescription, right, has been to make sure that we give God 10%, our first 10%. Now, if you don't like giving 10%, you're not alone. Nobody likes giving 10%. You can go what Jesus said in the New Testament. He said, if you wish to be perfect, you want to follow me, you got to give up everything. Go with the Old Testament, folks, all right? 10%. So that's what we're supposed to be doing, is 10% of what we get, should be given back. Now, I have to go and rebalance that, right? It's good for me to think about that. In fact, especially at Christmas time, it's good to think about that as I get money. My niece, one of my nieces, I gave her one time for a Christmas gift, I'm her godfather. I gave her money, and I made sure I gave her enough ones as part of like that $30 gift, whatever I gave her, $50. I made sure I gave her enough ones that she could take some of that money and give it to church. And I even wrote that in the card, right? 10% of this goes to church. I thought she probably hates having a godfather who's a priest, you know? But we need to teach our kids that too. I actually think it's a really neat thing that a lot of parents will hand their kids the envelope or the collection and say, here, you put it in, right? Or maybe tell your kid, maybe when you leave the house, give it to your kid, let them put it in their pocket. So when you get here, they have to pull it out and they have to give it. It's good to teach them that. Anyways, we all need to be tithing. But we don't have to tithe just with our money. Money is good. We need to tithe with that. In fact, let me also say, I'm not giving this homily because our budget is bad this year. In fact, unlike many parishes, praise God, we're okay. In fact, our CPC is bigger than we've ever had in a long time. So I'm not giving, this is the perfect time for me to talk about tithing because we don't need it right now, right? I mean, don't stop giving. We need it. But I'm not doing this to start to make everybody increase anything. I'm trying to do this because I think we need to tithe as much as people who are getting it need the money. Another way to do it is just for material possessions. One time I was in seminary, our rector of the seminary, a priest, before we went for Christmas break, he said, before you come back to seminary, make sure you give all of your Christmas gifts away. And I did it. That one time I did it anyways. And I hated it, right, at first. Because I got back to seminary, I couldn't go to Buffalo Wild Wings, the movie theater with all my buddies who were all going out, because I didn't have any money. Seminaries, we'd have no income, right? We're going to school. It's probably getting us ready to be priests where we have a simple life. But after a couple of weeks, I realized that there was a whole new life that I found, right? Like instead of having to go to Buffalo Wild Wings to have fun, I learned that playing cards with my buddies in the seminary was actually kind of fun. Or going to bed early is pretty awesome, actually. Or making a little more time for the chapel. Or going on a walk around St. Minor, which is a beautiful place. Like, take that in for free, you know? Anyways, we need to tithe because we need the freedom, not just other people need the help. So for this Christmas, as I was opening my gifts, now because it's become kind of a habit, I don't give everything away, especially not the bourbon. Thank you, by the way, for those who gave me bourbon. I'm serious about that. Anyways, there was somebody left it in the cleaning closet back here to hide it from everybody else. I guess that was a good move. Servers, don't check the cleaning closet. There's nothing left. Anyways, so as I was going to open my Christmas gifts this year, I was already in my head thinking, what of these things am I going to have to give away? Because it just become something of a habit for me. Anyways, my mom gave me socks and underwear. She always does because I'm always her son. That's what moms do. I got money from people. Actually, one lady wrote a card and she said, this cash is not for you. It's for those who come to you. It's not for you. It's for those who come to you. What a great gift, right? Well, so last night after Mass, the lady who gave me that cash, she said, have you gotten to use it yet? And I said, no, not yet. And she goes, well, they'll come soon. And I said, I know they will. I live in a place, my location is pretty active with homeless people. Not 30 minutes after I'd gotten home from Mass last night, a woman, 28 years old, named Jessica, she was dropped off by her, I guess, boyfriend. They got in a fight in the car. He was taking her to go visit her son, who was not their kid. And on the way there, she had all of her stuff, like her clothing in a laundry basket. She had gifts for her child for Christmas in this basket. She doesn't have custody anyways. I guess they got in a fight. He got tired of her. He dumped her off at church, at our church, in the rain last night with all of her stuff in a bag. She had no jacket or anything on. And so one of our guys at the house, Jacob Schneider from here, from our parish, he was there, and so he took her into the garage so she could get dry. I came out. We talked to her for a while, and long story short, there's a lot of stuff going on. And I said, well, what's the next thing that you need right now? Like, what's the next best thing for you? And she goes, I want to see my mom. And I said, where does she live? And she gave me the address. And so I punched it into Uber, called an Uber, got an Uber there. And she was really wet, too. And so I said, I've got some fresh socks, right, for Christmas. I didn't give her the underwear. That'd be weird. I gave her the socks, right? I brought those out, and she goes, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much. How can I pay you back?" And I said, "No, I think these were meant for you anyway." And I went in the house, and I grabbed some of the money from that envelope that lady from here gave me for other people. And I got her the Uber, and when the Uber showed up, the lady, I didn't know her, this Uber showed up, and she, as soon as she rolled her window down, she goes, "Well, hello, Father." And I said, "Hi." I don't know who she is, right? And I said, "This Uber's not for me. It's for this woman. She's kind of having a hard night." The woman wasn't there. And I said, "Can you get her back? I'll tip you well. You know, I got plenty for that." And she goes, "Absolutely. Thanks for helping me help her, you know." So the lady Jessica got in the car and wished her well. You know, that's that kind of gift giving, or that gold that we offer, is just as good as offering money. It's our stuff, right? And at Lent, I asked the guys at the House of Discernment every year at Lent to take all their hangers in their closet and turn them around and hang them backwards. And then as you use those clothes, you get to turn them back around the right way. And on Easter, if you've got a hanger that's still backwards, that means you don't need it. If you haven't worn it in 40 days, when it's been cold and hot and mild temperatures, if you've not worn it yet, as Dorothy Day says, if the extra jacket in your closet belongs to the poor. It doesn't even belong to you. It belongs to the poor. We can all do a better job of that. So maybe in this new year, 2022, a way that you can offer gold to the Lord is by offering some of your stuff, and I can do it better too. The second one, incense. This will be a little quicker. This is like offering our praise to God, right? We only use incense for divine things. A friend of mine who's a nun, she's a fantastic speaker, way better than I am. And she'll go give talks to these amazing conferences, and she's always the headliner. And when she gets done and someone comes up to her and says, "Golly, you knocked it out of the park," she says, "Praise God," right? And then someone says, "You've got a real gift for speaking," and she says, "Praise God," you know? And I'm like, well, just say thank you, right? Like, part of humility is owning what's true. Like, if you did something well, being humble is accepting the thing that you are, that you did. And so I'm like, why don't you just say thank you? Like, or yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Like, that's what I would say. I say that often myself. And she goes, "Well, because God did it, not me. I'm just an instrument. I'm just a tool in God's hand." And so praise God. And actually, if you watch her, when people do this, they say thank you or great job. And when she says praise God, it's like that praise just bounces off of her spirit and goes back to the people or back to the Lord. What a great gift. Like, what if we all did that, right? Great wrestling tournament. Great job getting a 98 on your test. Great job with the band competition. Great job at work. And what if our response was always, praise God? Praise God. I wonder if that wouldn't teach other people and ourselves too to praise God more often, to offer more of our praise to the Lord, especially in this new year. So that's the second gift idea. The third gift that we have from the wise men is myrrh. The reason this one's last is because it comes last in the scripture, but also because I think this is one that we as Catholics are already pretty mindful of. This is penance, or our sacrifices. We're really good at this, especially during the Lenten season, to give things up. We can define it. We can use our discipline. We can see if we did it or not. Did I eat the dessert or did I not? Did I give up the music or did I not? We as Catholics do a pretty good job of that at certain times of year, but it used to be, for the older Catholics here who remember, we used to not give up meat just on Friday during Lent. We give up meat Friday when? All year round. How many Catholics remember that? No way. Kids, that's the old people, by the way. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. How many people remember that? That's amazing. It's like half the church. That's great. Well, that used to be the thing, right? Every Friday, all year round, no meat, right? And during Lent, but all year round. Well, after Vatican II, that kind of shifted. The U.S. bishops have given us permission to eat meat on Fridays when it's not Lent. But, most people don't know this, they said you can only eat meat on Fridays if you offer some other suitable penance. People knew that. Very few. Okay, now you know. So now you have to do it, right? So the bishops have said that on Friday is supposed to be a day that's sacred. Why? Because there's football on Friday night sometimes, right? Because on Friday, we remember what happened. We pray the sorrowful mysteries because we remember the sacrifice of Jesus on that day of the week so that we could rise and have joy and rest on Sunday. So Friday should be a day that we offer something to God, some kind of sacrifice. So if you're not already giving up meat on Fridays, I'd encourage you to think about it. I try to do that now as a priest. Like this past Friday, I didn't. There we go, right? Some example I am, you know. This past Friday, I didn't because somebody came into town and they wanted to order something in particular. And I thought, well, I won't give up meat because I want to join them and celebrate, right, that they're here. And so later on, I did something else. Usually, I try to pray the rosary as my other suitable penance. If you don't want to do that, just do a decade of the rosary. Or maybe as a family, don't turn on the radio or a podcast on Fridays. Enjoy silence with the Lord. And just enjoy silence with each other if you can. We need to offer something in sacrifice. In fact, one more thing about this. The only way that our lives ever have meaning is if we go through suffering. I could do a whole homily on that. I could do a whole series of homilies on that. But if you think about it, the most important things in life happen after the hardest times. And it's a very simple way. Usually it's after a really long kind of health crisis that someone finally gets well. And it's like life is totally different and better because of that. Or after a really easy workout, you feel good. After a really hard workout, you feel awesome. Or like yesterday, if Notre Dame would have barely won the game, it would have been even better than if they won it by a bunch. Now they lost, but you know what I mean, right? When you barely win, like you pull it out, it was a strong struggle. It's like the victory is more sweet. Similarly, in our lives, if we don't allow some suffering, even intentionally, some penance, I think we often lose our way. Life seems to kind of lose meaning. So there's the three ideas, right? Wise people, people who are looking for God, they're seeking him out. And when they find him, they offer three things: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For us in 2022, I think it's good for us to think about, what are the things, the praise, and the penances I can do for our God? If you can even just do one this coming year, what a great new year that'll be.